Welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast with your hosts, Tony Castelnova from DisneyByTheNumbers.com and Krista Joy from DisneyWays.com. Keep your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the podcast at all times and get ready for the Disney Parks Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Disney Parks Podcast. Today, we have some exciting news to bring you all about the Polynesian, the Disneyland annual pass price hikes, news on the first truly interactive nighttime show Disney has ever done, and our picks for top five places to shop at Disney World. But first, I want to introduce you to listener Nicole. Nicole is a cast member at Captain's Grill, and she moved down here about a year ago because she loves Disney, and she is now a very lucky bride-to-be. So you can see her over at Captain's Grill at Yacht Club. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Krista and Tony.
It's our pleasure. Thanks for being here.
We're going to have to do a show about people that have moved to Florida because they like to be near Disney. I think that's coming up because a lot of people we've now spoken to have now or are in the process of moving down here. So I think we may have to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of blogs out there on that subject too.
Yeah, there is.
Lots to talk about. Yeah. All right, so you ready to get started with the news?
Sure. Let's go through some of our fun mousekeeping stuff, because I know everybody loves to hear us talk about this every week. Okay, number one, we've said it before, we'll say it again. We have a newsletter. You know what I figured out the other day, and actually someone, I was listening to another podcast that was pointing this out. You probably can't do any of these things because you're probably in your car driving. Listening to this, or you're on your treadmill, or you're out for a run, or whatever. So you probably really can't do these things because of where you listen to the show. So I'm going to say them anyway, because I like to. So the first thing is we have a newsletter, and like we said, we're not going to send it every week or every day, but we want to use the newsletter so that we can send you information when we have information that we need to get to you, and that would be a way for us to kind of send everybody the same thing at the same time. This way you may not have to listen to the podcast or maybe in between shows or whatever. Sign up for the newsletter. We're not going to sell, trade, or do anything evil with your email address. It's just for our purpose and our purpose only. We did add a donation button. And like we said last week, if you'd like to send us your Disney dollars, your pressed pennies, whatever it is, whatever you can donate to help us, cover some of the cost of doing the podcast and the show and bringing you some other bigger, better things that we have planned, we would love for you to do that. We have not asked for this lately, but if you can go out to iTunes and rate us and review us, we would really appreciate that. That would also be a very nice, helpful thing. If you are like Nicole or Chris or Florence who would like to come on the show and talk Disney stuff with us, give us a call at 407-476-8898, or you can email us at thecrew@DisneyParksPodcast. Let us know how you want us to get in touch with you, phone number, email, Facebook, Twitter, whatever your form of communication is that you want. And then the last little mousekeeping thing is we started a new Disney Parks Podcast YouTube channel. And if you go to youtube.com/user/DisneyPK Podcast, you will see the new podcast channel there. What we're going to do is we're going to take all of our new shows and we'll put them up there. But also we're starting to put some of our older, more interesting shows up there as well. So we'd ask, that you subscribe and comment and do all those kind of things on YouTube. The reason we're doing that on YouTube is that we've heard that some people cannot listen to the show at work unless it's on YouTube. Other places are blocked on the internet, but YouTube is not, and I don't know why. I thought every company in America has blocked YouTube from their employees, but apparently not. That is another way for you to listen to the show, if you so choose. Someday soon, we'll probably be also putting videos up there, too. So right now, it's just the recorded show with our graphic, but you never know. We may do some videos. Actually, we may do some at the 24-hour party this weekend.
And now, Disney Parks Podcast News.
Okay, believe it or not, there's even more Poly news. And when I say Poly, I mean Polynesian Resort. They are going crazy with all this Poly stuff. They are turning the Children's Center into what they are now calling Club Disney. And it looks like a very cute place to drop off your kids and maybe pick them up at the end of your vacation. Would be nice, but there's going to be some themed areas to this. There's going to be like an Alice in Wonderland theme. There's going to be a Pinocchio, a Lady and a Tramp. And then Club Disney will open at the resort next month. And guests can begin making their reservations now. So if you are staying at the Polynesian, Godspeed, because there's a lot of construction going on. You know, this will be another little perk, I guess, for you. Trader Sam's Grotto, which will be similar to the one in Disneyland Hotel, maybe we'll get the bigger version because that one's a little tiny, will be opening up in the resort in 2015 in addition to another new food and beverage location called Pineapple Lanai Kiosk, which will offer tropical guest favorites such as the Dole Whip, and that will open later this year. Right now, the Dole Whip at the Polynesian is on vacation, but we'll be back later this year. Pool is also now currently under many enhancements, but it's going to come back with a new aquatic playground with slides for children, a new hot tub. They set a larger deck, and I think the number was 30% more seats around the pool area. So that'll be good. The other thing I read on the internet, I think it's at change.org, there's a petition going around asking for signatures so that they will not take out the fountain in the Polynesian lobby. Listen, I applaud your gusto for trying to do that, but the walls are already up, kids, and I don't think there's anything you can do to stop it. I think it's going to happen whether you... whether you get the 2,500 signatures and send it off to George Caligridis or not. You probably should probably send it to Bob Iger and not George, because I think Bob's probably got the last say. Hey, give it a shot. You never know. Okay, that's enough Poly talk and mousekeeping. Krista, what else do you have?
All right, so next we're going to talk about Star Wars weekends. Of course, we're already in the midst of Star Wars weekends, but if you plan on coming in 2014, you'll want to be sure to try out some of the new technology designed to bring the event to life in new ways this year. For the first time, Star Wars weekends is utilizing augmented reality to provide guests virtual character experiences, added information in the guide maps, and even interaction with the event logo itself. So before arriving at the park, you want to download the free app. It's called Aurasma. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but it's A-U-R-A-S-M-A. And that's on the App Store or the Android market. And you can put that on your smartphone or your tablet. Now, there's a little tip here. It says, while the app loads, will prompt you to register. You are not required to do so. You can choose to advance by clicking skip in the lower right on the final welcome screen. So there's a little tip. If you don't want to register, you don't have to. Utilizing HP technology, there are special locations to utilize this app in the park and even on the event's guide map. So have either one of you guys seen anybody using this yet? Or
I've not seen anybody using this, but I have used this. I think Disney did something else with this. I think it was for Fantasyland, I want to say.
What have you heard, Nicole, as a cast member?
I haven't heard anything, but I was there today, and I saw a lot of the photo app places up, and they looked really cool. It looked pretty awesome to have pictures taken there with different characters.
Yeah, that will definitely be really fun. So maybe this, I think we're waiting till Friday for them to announce some other interactive thing we're going to be able to do on our phones for the all-nighter as well.
That would be pretty awesome. I'm excited for that.
Maybe get a free coffee so I can stay up all night.
That'd be nice.
That would be great.
That would be ideal.
Starbucks coupons, something. Talking about
samples. Samples will get us through the night.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
Also, talking about more technology, Disney is now on Snapchat, and, you know, this is more of a teen tween kind of app thing. I don't think you'll find a lot of adults using Snapchat. But if you are app savvy and photo savvy, they are now on Snapchat. And the way you do this is launch your Snapchat app, and you can go find this on Android or iOS, whatever your phone preference is. So you launch the Snapchat app, tap the bottom right icon to open up My Friends, tap the top right icon and Add Friends menu, then click on the magnifying glass and search for Walt Disney World, one word, or Disneyland, one word. Once you do, you'll see Walt Disney World or Disneyland pop up. You hit the plus sign to add them to your friends list, and that's it. So then you can Snapchat pictures to Walt Disney World and to Disneyland, and when they do the same, you'll be able then to see their pictures in Snapchat. Another way to enjoy the parks when you're at home or at work.
There you have it.
Do you ladies use Snapchat?
Not me. Have you, Nicole?
Yeah.
No, I have not.
Okay. Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. It's more, my nieces and nephews use it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, my 17-year-old son's, he's got it, I know. Yeah. So your nieces and nephews have it too.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, next, really quick, I just wanted to cover the sensational Sarah Norris of Gluten-Free and Dairy-Free at Walt Disney World has prepared a webinar to include your top 10 gluten-free food finds at Walt Disney World. This is a great webinar, not just for people on special diets, but also, you know, if you have someone you love on a special diet in your family that you'll be traveling to Disney World with. This webinar will be held on Thursday, May 29th, and it's from 7 to 7:30, so it'll be short and sweet. The presentation is sponsored by Orlando Theme Park Shoppers, so please visit them at OrlandoThemeParkShoppers.com and tell them Sarah and Krista of the Dairy and Gluten-Free webinar sent you. Sarah has spent years researching at the park, seeking out these items, taste testing them all. She's got beautiful pictures to show you, and she's doing it all just to bring you this one fully comprehensive list during this webinar. Space is very limited, and we really want you to come join the party. We're already about half full as of this recording, so hopefully we're not sold out by the time this goes out. But I'll put a link in the show notes, just like I did for last week's show. You can check it out, read more details, and hopefully register and sign up to join us. It's 30 minutes. It's going to be super fun, and it's $5. That's the fee to join in. So
yeah, sounds like fun. Okay. Over from Disneyland, Randy Crane of the Faith and the Magic Kingdom sent us some more news, as he does every week. Thank you, Randy. You're very reliable, like a watch. You can find Randy at facebook.com/Faith and the Magic Kingdom, all one word. And in this week's Disneyland news, he says, I guess they've been bit by the price bug, and Disneyland prices are going up as of May 18th. Some food prices have gone up a little over the last week or so, but now the admission park is now going up. Most price increases were relatively modest, with a one-day park going up $4 to $96 for adults and $90 for children. A one-park hopper has increased by $13, so adults are now $150 and children are $144. The 2, 3, and 4, and 5-day tickets increased as well, of course, and the parking went up $1. It is only now at $17 for cars and motorcycles. So their pricing is almost in line with ours here in Florida. The biggest news may be what happened to the annual pass. Uh-oh, here we go. Their annual pass skyrockets. I'm afraid to even find out what happened. So the SoCal Select Annual Passports, good for 170 days, of the year, are now $289, an increase of $10, and that's not too bad. It's $159 to add the parking. Yikes. So that's the interesting thing. Their annual, or some of their annual passes, do not include parking like ours. The deluxe annual passport, which is good for 315 days of the year, and that's the other difference too with theirs, is they have a lot of blackout dates where we, for most of our passes, have almost no blackout dates. Like the premiere and the regular have no blackout dates except for the seasonal. They are now $519. That's an increase of $20. And again, it's $159 to add the parking. So they're not even getting a full year, and their ticket is $519.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Now, the premium annual passport, valid all year with no blackout dates, has increased by $30, and that is now $699. And the one for that's the one that allows you to Disney World and Disneyland. That increased by $50. Wait, take that back. The premium one, which is the one for Disneyland and Disney World, increased by $50, and now that's at $1,029. What's interesting here is that there used to be two Southern California annual passports available only to the Southern California residents. With these changes, Disneyland spokesperson Susie Brown told the Orange County Register, "Due to the popularity of our annual pass program, and to preserve the guest experience for our annual pass holders and all guests, future sales of all annual passes will be subject to availability. We continue to offer a wide variety of annual passes so that our guests can choose a pass that's right for them. And with that, the SoCal annual pass one step up from the Southern California Select Pass has sales suspended. If a pass holder already had one, then they can renew it. But if they are not currently being sold." It's tough to be a pass holder in Disneyland. It really is.
Yeah.
It's tough to be out there. Also, this summer, Olaf will finally find out what it's like to enjoy summer in a new pre-parade float coming to Disneyland Park. I am not surprised that this is in every park, but I guess they have to start somewhere. Debuting in mid-June, guests will be able to enjoy a new Frozen-themed pre-parade float ahead of the Mickey's Soundstational Parade featuring Olaf, Anna, and Elsa. Float designed by Queen Elsa will allow her friend Olaf to finally see what it's like to be a snowman in summer. The pre-parade debuts in mid-June in Disneyland parks.
Lots of Disneyland stuff. We covered it all.
Yeah, I don't want to be an annual pass holder in Disneyland, but I would like to see this float. Hey, Randy, if you can, post some pictures, the show notes, next time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's cool. I never knew how much the Coast-to-Coast pass was. So it's actually $1,029 if you want to go to both Disney World and Disneyland. And I guess that's every day of the year with no blackout dates, maybe?
Every day of the year, no blackout dates. You really have to be a diehard Disney fan, and you really have to go a lot in order to enjoy a $1,029 pass.
Yeah, at least 10 times.
Yeah, so. At least.
Crazy stuff.
Yep.
Well, anything you want to add to that, Nicole? Or what, how do you feel about the whole Anna and Elsa craze right now?
It's pretty crazy. I'm just glad that I got my picture taken with Anna and Elsa before the movie came out. So that way I'm covered now, because these 300-minute wait times, I just can't do it. But it's pretty crazy. I've got a coworker who's pretty intense upon the whole thing, and we all bring her little gifts of Frozen things, and it just makes her light up. And so, you know, I can see how it makes the kids light up, and they get all excited for it. But it's a pretty great movie. I would love to see the float in California. That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds great. Yeah, Tony and I lucked out, too. We managed to get our picture with them before the movie came out in, like, November, I think it was. So thank goodness we did that. We don't have patience for lines either.
Yeah, those are TikTok commodities now, pictures with them.
Yeah, it's a really big deal. So, you guys, I don't know if you heard about this, because I think it's breaking news from today, but Disney is reportedly about to unveil its very first truly interactive nighttime show. Now, the bad news is this one's going to be in Hong Kong, so I don't know if we're going to be able to make it out there to see it. But according to newspapers, the long-rumored Disney Paint the Night Parade will reportedly debut in October and give guests the opportunity to control light colors on floats when they purchase a special device. The word on the street is that they may be taking the glow with the show technology to the next step by instead letting the guests control lights on the floats instead of the ears. And the technology is already being tested at Disney California Adventure, where guests who win the nightly Mickey's Fun Wheel Challenge are granted a short window to control the lighting on Mickey's Fun Wheel. So that's already happening over there. Rumors indicate a similar parade is is being designed for Disneyland in California and may debut sometime in 2015 as part of the park's 60th anniversary celebration. So I guess none of this is really confirmed just yet, but we get from a reliable source that this is something that might be coming down the pike. This is incredible to me. Super exciting. What do you think a interactive parade could really do for the parks, Nicole, as a cast member?
I think it'd bring a lot of excitement to the parades, but sometimes people tend to overlook them or bypass them in order to go on to different rides and such, because it does present a good opportunity to ride the ride. However, you miss out on some of these parades that are pretty awesome, and the idea to be able to interact with them and change the colors on the float, I can see that being a big excitement factor for young children and adults for that matter.
yeah, totally. Now, Tony, you've been to California Adventure. Do you know about this Ferris wheel thing that they do over there?
It's new. Yeah, it's new. This was not going on when I was out there last. But think of this. Everybody standing, you know, on the parade route with a phone or tablet or whatever, with a color wheel, and they can then spin their finger to whatever color they want the lights to be, and then like a little light intensity to how bright or dark they want the lights to be. And then that would happen on the floats in front of them.
Hard to imagine, right? It sounds really cool.
You know, you would have your shot at doing it, I'm sure, but, you know, you have to remember there's, you know, probably 10, 12, 15,000 of your favorite friends.
Right.
All trying to control the same lights you are.
Right. I see lots of colors flashing often.
Yeah. Yeah. It would, you know, be like, you know, it'd be all these kind of crazy colors. Unless by some kind of, you know, say your magic band, they pick you as the person that gets control for, you know, 2 minutes or, you know, 30 seconds or whatever. And then you're controlling the lights. You know, something comes up on your phone that you have control of the lights and, you know, you can do it for 30 seconds or whatever. Listen, they can do plenty of things with the magic bands and applications and all this other stuff. I mean, Philips has light bulbs in your house that can do that, you know. You pull up your app and you can change the color of it and how bright it is and all that kind of stuff. So
wow, I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
That's
they even
cool.
have bulbs that can change color and also can Bluetooth with your phone so that you can play music through the light bulb.
That sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah. Listen, technology's getting pretty crazy, so it's gonna be interesting.
Sure.
I'm in for it. I'll give it a shot.
Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, bring it on, that's right.
Sounds great.
I'll try it once. If I don't like it, move on to the next show.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best part of Disney.
And now, the Disney Parks Podcast Infotainment Segment.
Talk about some infotainment. You know, I don't know what spurred this. I was looking down this list of things that we, you know, can talk about. I said, oh, shopping. I haven't talked about shopping in a long time. So this is our top five places to buy things and shop at Disney, or maybe to find that unique Disney merchandise that you may not find scattered all over, you know, every single park. Not every store, and Nicole will probably tell you this, not every store carries the same merchandise. There are Magic Kingdom only things in the Magic Kingdom. There's Epcot only things in Epcot. Unfortunately, you can find most of everything in the World of Disney store or Downtown Disney, except for some of the theme park stuff. So if you're looking for something with your favorite theme park on it, you have to go to that theme park. And what I've liked that they've just recently started doing and bringing back is they now have resort merchandise that you can buy. If you are a beach club or a Wilderness Lodge or a Bay Lake Tower or whatever, they now have some merchandise that they're coming out for each of these resorts. Bring back the resort-specific merchandise. We'll let the ladies start first. So, Krista, what's the bottom of your list?
So, my number five choice, I chose the Art of Disney Store. Again, I got to see Tony's list, so I was able to pick different ones than he picked. So, you'll get a nice mix, and I know Nicole's going to bring us some exciting things too, but the Art of Disney Store, I like the one that's located in near the entrance to Epcot. There's also one, I believe, at Downtown Disney as well. I don't visit that one as often. But this store is just a nice little peaceful respite a lot of times from the crowds. They've got beautiful paintings, lithographs, posters. There's watches in there, all kinds of beautiful Linux figurines. The list just goes on and on. It's a great place to find a unique souvenir if you're, you know, if you've got enough t-shirts and mouse ears and stuff like that. It's fun to go in there and just look at all the art. I've never personally bought anything from in there. I know that the pencil drawings and things like that can actually be pretty affordable if you're into the Disney art. This is a fun one to go and take a look at.
I go through that store and look at all the Thomas Kincaid paintings and go, oh, one day I'll have that one, or one day mm-hmm. I'll get that one. Yeah. I like to dream. It gives me lots to dream about.
Me too, exactly. Yeah, it's the best.
I wish they had a layaway program.
Yeah.
At least for locals.
That would be perfect.
Yeah, that would be great. At least you can, I'll put down $25 this week and $25, you know, at least something so that someday I can own that piece of art. Let's see, number five on my list is over at the studios, and that's the Keystone Clothier, and over by Toy Story is the Toy Story department. I like the clothing store because they usually have some interesting t-shirts in there. Yes, I have a vast t-shirt collection, but, you know, they have interesting things there. Usually when you walk in, if you're just coming from park entrance and you're walking to the back, there's all the t-shirts are in the front, and they usually have some unique things in there that I don't typically find in other places. Over in, by the Toy Story Mania, there's a small little area that's called the Toy Story Department. They have some Pixar stuff and obviously Toy Story stuff. I had gotten, I don't even know if they still sell it, it's a black shirt that has Pixar on it. I thought that was great because I don't know if I would ever get to the Pixar studios to go buy a Pixar shirt. I don't know. I've never seen them online. I've only ever seen them in the studio, so a great find. I also bought the hat that went with it. Those are two of my favorite shirts. I really don't wear that shirt that often because I don't want to ruin it. I love that shirt so much. So those are two places in the studio that I like to shop. Krista, what's next on your list?
Well, I wanted to ask Nicole. Nicole, did you want to share anything about being a cast member and shopping and stuff like that?
Well, we have a couple of exclusive places that we can go. One of them is called Property Control. It's pretty interesting. It has a lot of the same things that you get in the parks. It has a few exclusive things. They also bring in merchandise, old merchandise from resorts or even from the parks that we get an opportunity to look at and possibly bid on or purchase depending on the price and how many of the objects that they have. Which it's kind of cool because we get an opportunity possibly to just bring home a little piece of the park and have that displayed in our house, and not to mention the discounts on some of the t-shirts and the jewelry and the baseball hats and vinyl nations. And it's a nice little place to just go and look around and have an opportunity to look at different things and not have all the crowds around, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, because it's exclusive to cast members, right? Can you ever bring a friend with you or a guest? Or
yes, if they're accompanied by a cast member, they can come in.
There you go. All right. So hug a cast member today if you want to get in Property Control. Maybe they'll let you in.
Yes.
So, Nicole, what's the craziest thing you've seen that you go, wow, I wish I could have that? You know, what was that? I mean, I've heard some of the things. I know they were selling the Segways there for relatively cheap.
A friend of mine picked up a piece of the old Dumbo from a piece of the queue line from the old Dumbo before they transferred the Dumbo ride, and he's got that displayed in his house, and that's the coolest thing that I personally have seen.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. They have a piece from the queue line from a ride that was in the Magic Park for years and years and years. It doesn't get too much better than that.
Yeah, that'd be good. I would like a little bit of that. I've heard, what else was somebody telling me? A lot of times when they rehab the resorts, a lot of that furniture winds up in Cast Connection or Property Control as well.
Yes, that is very true. I was there one day when they were randomly selling a bunch of the blankets that they had changed out from the resorts. I see everybody walking out with a bunch of blankets. I'm like, what is going on? And they had just changed over a bunch of the blankets and were selling them for an outrageously great price. So apparently people were picking them up in the handfuls.
Wow, that's neat.
Don't know if I'd like a blanket from
I personally did not buy one for that reason.
I don't know how many times that thing was washed. I don't know if I would like it.
Yeah, you roll the dice at property control.
I more look for the big pictures and such that they had displayed in the different resorts. Those are pretty cool to look at.
Yeah, I like the art and stuff.
Yeah. I think a friend of mine, she's becoming a monorail pilot soon this week. I think she's going to training. Sherry, she got some lamps from the Grand Floridian that she was showing.
Oh, how cool.
Yes, they were the lamps that went on the night tables. So she's got a pair of those, I should say. They weren't really a set, they were a pair. Okay.
I wanted to talk about the Villains in Vogue store. It's not new or anything, but this is in the Hollywood Studios. I don't know if you guys can think of where I'm talking about, but we did like a scavenger hunt on a meet that I was at, the WDW Celebrations group. It was really fun. They had us do a scavenger hunt. And when I was in this store, I didn't realize, I'd never slowed down to really look up and look around at how detailed it is. It's really not the largest or most extensive store in Hollywood Studios, but it's devoted entirely to villains. So there's Cruella de Vil in there and, the Evil Queen from Snow White. So if you're really into villains and you just like to look at all that stuff, it's a great place to go. And also just notice the decor around. There's some really cool stuff if you just stop and take a look.
That's right next to where Saucy Susan works, Sweet Spells.
Yes.
Get yourself a candy apple and be a villain. Next on my list is the Mitsuchiri Department Store. This is the big, big store in Japan. I really don't go in there for merchandise, per se. I go in there for the snacks. They have an awesome selection of some crazy Japanese candy and snacks and sodas and things like that. We've spoken about the soda on here where you pop the ball in there.
Yeah.
So I can't remember the name of it.
Me either.
Yeah, but it's good soda. They have, like, shrimp potato chips, I think. They have the pokey. It's, like, a little stick that you dip in chocolate. It comes with the chocolate that you dip in. They got some crazy snacks in there. And that's really why I go to the store. They have some, interesting anime and Japanese cartoon things. If your kid's into that kind of, Japanese art and Japanese anime and all the cartoons and things like that, and Sonic the Hedgehog, all that kind of crazy stuff. This is a great place to go and get some of that stuff. The only bad, it's not a bad thing, the only thing is they do not take any annual pass holder or any kind of discounts at all. Whatever the price is, that's the price. There are no discounts applied. I'm not sure if they discount for cast members or anything. I know there's no annual pass or DVC or anything like that. So,
can you get a discount in there, Nicole?
I certainly can. I was actually in there last week and picked up one of those flavored pops that you were just talking about with the Marvel inside of it and got my discount on it.
It's so fun. It's like a little toy.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so great. I love the pickup pearl in there because those, you guys know there's the oyster tank and the cast member can cut open the oyster for you and then you get to see if you got one or two pearls inside. And they measure it and they put it in a little baggie for you. And you can get it set in jewelry in the store if you want to. But these cast members are just hilarious. I think it's just like a show that they put on, opening the oyster and making a big deal out of it. That to me is just hilarious. Mm-hmm. And people say if you pick the hairiest, ugliest oyster, that will increase your chance of getting two pearls. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they say.
Yeah, and two other things I forgot to mention is one is you get a bonsai tree in there. If you ever want a bonsai tree, this is a good place to get. Listen, it's probably not good to try and take on a plane. They'll probably ship it to you. And the other thing you get here is they have a wide variety of sake. So they have all kinds of sake here. They have, really powerful, strong tasting sake. They have some sweet sake. If you're looking for a good bottle of sake, this is a great place to pick up an authentic Japanese good bottle sake. And the people in there really know anything or everything about the Saki. They're not, you know, it's not like your, you know, state story, you know, in downtown Orlando that's trying to sell you some Saki. These guys really know what they're talking about. So
it's your turn again, Tony. I think intercepted your turn.
Did you?
I think so.
All right. The other place I go often is the Emporium. To me, it's like the quintessential place to get a Disney souvenir. You know, you're on Main Street. You're in the Magic Kingdom. You're in the middle of Disney World. And if you're going to get a souvenir, it might as well be from the Emporium. They have a wide variety of everything from houseware to, you know, kid stuff. And I guess the fun part is that it's not this one little store. This store really just connects to all the other stores all the way down to Casey's Corner. So you just walk, you know, down this giant store. They all have different names as you go outside the Emporium, obviously. But you can start at one end and wind up, you know, all the way down at Casey's Corner. But it's a great place to get your quintessential, you know, Walt Disney World souvenir, either on your way in or on your way out of the park.
Yeah. So, Nicole, what's one of your favorite stores that you like to go to a lot?
One of my favorites is Trendy, which is located in downtown Disney. Hmm. They display a lot of the Dooney and Burke purses, which I happen to have a little love of.
Don't we all?
Who doesn't?
I like
to go and just look at them and maybe handle them and look at the different placements of the different characters or the different balloons or the different designs that they have on the purses. And it's also a nice shop, too, for just, like, as the name implies, trendy shirts or scarves if you're into that, or cell phone cases. Sometimes it just has unique little finds there that you wouldn't necessarily find at the park.
Yeah, that's a really good one. Yeah. I love that store too. Okay, so since we're kind of running out of time, I'm going to do a twofer here. I really love the Castle Couture shop, which is the one that replaced Tinkerbell's Treasures. And again, I think I have all the Disney stuff I could possibly want because I just really like window shopping and stuff. So what I love about this store is it's got that color-changing dress of Aurora's in there. So you can go and check that out. And while we're on the subject of Magic Kingdom, another store that I really love in there is the Christmas shop inside Magic Kingdom. And the reason for that is you've got every kind of Disney ornament, stocking, toy that you could possibly want for Christmas, and they'll personalize the ornaments for you. So I don't really know a whole lot of places where you can get a personalized Disney ornament, but that's, you know, pretty special. So you can do that at Magic Kingdom. You can also go to the downtown Disney location, the Ye Olde Christmas Shop.
Krista mentioned one of mine, Art of Disney, so I'll skip that one. The last one on my list is at downtown Disney Marketplace, or what soon will be the Landing, and that's Once Upon a Toy. Listen, I'm just a kid at heart, and nothing makes me happier than a good toy, still to this day. So I like to go in there and check out all the new kinds of toys that kids are playing with. I do have some toys on my shelf. I have a Wally, an Eva, and some Buzz Lightyears and things like that. So I like to collect toys. I'm a John Lasseter wannabe. I would love to have shelves and shelves and shelves of Toy Story toys like he does. Nothing would make me happier. I don't have Lasseter's money, so I have to do with what I can. It's also a good place to get some, they have a pretty good selection of Disney books in there too. And usually when I'm at downtown Disney, I'd like to go in there and look at some books. I've gotten some books there before that I haven't seen in other places, so I don't know why a place that sold books would have the same, but apparently there's been some books there that I haven't seen in other places. They've changed this place. There used to be a place a long, long time ago, and I know some of you longtime Disney people know, there used to be a place in there that you can go and almost like make a mixtape. You were able to pick some Disney songs, and I think it was on a CD at the time, and then they would give you or burn that CD with, you know, 10 songs of your choice that you pick.
Wow.
Anybody else remember this? No?
I don't. Sounds great.
No.
Am I living in crazy land again?
Probably not. Nicole and I are just very young. We're youngsters. Yeah. So.
All right. So you older people that listen to the show, validate that I am not totally insane and that there was a place inside of the Once Upon a Toy that you could get yourself like a mixtape or mix CD. I know you people know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
It was. It was great. Because there was stuff in there that you could not get anywhere else. You couldn't even, like, buy a CD of it. You know, now they sell a CD of the Praise and the resorts and all that. But this was back before all that. All right, never mind.
Cool. That's cool.
Somebody
send
me an email.
Well, Nicole, I want to give you one more chance before I give away my number one choice here. Do you have any other, like, shopping tips or secrets or favorite stores that you really enjoy?
Oh, nothing more that I can really think of besides the trendy and, of course, the cast member ones. Besides that pretty much sums up what I've been thinking about.
Yeah. Well, you guys get a pretty good discount, so I bet it's hard to resist things as you're going by.
Oh my goodness. You have no idea.
I can imagine. Well, I want to give away, this is a secret of mine. This is a hidden gem inside the Grand Floridian Resort. Upstairs, there's a wonderful store called M Mouse Mercantile. What I love about this store is they have the Mickey ears, they have pins, they have Vinylmation, they have plush, but also they have a lot of your princess gowns, accessories, the shoes. So if you've got a little one and you're going to take her to Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique or whatever, and you want to pick out her whole outfit the night before, M Mouse Mercantile is like a little hidden gem. Nobody knows, you know, that it's there. So a lot of times they'll have things in stock that other stores won't. And you don't have to go running around shopping for, you know, a lot of different things because it's all right there. And as a bonus, right across, you know, the hall is the Ivy Trellis Salon. So if you're completely booked at Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, you can't get your daughter in there, check out Ivy Trellis Salon. They do a little flower girl package where they'll fix her hair and kind of give her a whole princess look there. So if you want to learn more about that, let me know and I'll send you the inside scoop. But M Mouse Mercantile is like a little hidden gem. Were you going to say something about this one, Nicole?
I was just going to say that right around there too is that the Bath Hand and Bath Place.
Yes.
That they have where you can go in there and you can use the hand scrub and try and smell the different soaps. And I just think that place is also amazing.
Me too. And that's, you know, I could spend a whole day in the Grand Floridian. Let's face it. I
really
love that.
And when you go there, don't forget to look down because they have amazing pieces in the floor that just like everything from designs from Cinderella to Beauty and the Beast. And just make sure you look down when you go visit.
Yeah.
There is that woman that is always at the Grand Floridian, Krista.
Yes,
you may want to grab a seat next to her. If you want to
say. Nicole, have you seen?
I don't know what we're talking about. yes. Is she, no, it's not that. The Hat Lady's in Epcot. No. Yeah, she's interesting. She's fun to look at. She definitely adds some spice to the tapestry, if you will.
Yeah. I would love to know her story. You know, somebody had told me that used to be the place that her and her husband used to go when her husband has, you know, passed away, unfortunately. And she still goes back there and she spends the whole day there typically.
Well, so. I don't blame her. The piano music, the jazz band, you know, the lounge there that overlooks the courtyard. I love the Grand Floridian. It's probably my favorite. People think it's stuffy, but I don't know. I think it's probably my favorite one. Yeah. So.
All right. So now you have to go visit Nicole. She's over at Captain's Grill, over at the yacht and beach. Well, yacht, not beach.
But only if you're going to tip her really good. Otherwise, somebody else can wait on you. But Nicole, you got to tip her really good.
And everybody thinks that, you know, everything over at Yacht and Beach is expensive, and it's not. There's some, you know, nicer places, more affordable. Listen, you don't have to go to the Yachtsman Steakhouse and have a $40 steak. You can go to the Captain's Grill and have a nice sit-down, affordable meal and have a great server like Nicole serve you.
Yes, and we do have steaks there also, too. They're just as good.
They probably come from the same place, a cow.
They do.
Well, we have to thank you again, Nicole, for coming on the show. It's been so fun. I know it took a little convincing. I think she's a little shy, but I just so appreciate you being here, Nicole, and spending your time with us and sharing your cast member expertise. This has been fun, right, Tony?
Absolutely. I love talking to cast members.
Yeah.
It's my favorite part-time hobby.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, Krista. Thank you, Tony, so much for having me, and I'd love to be on again. You learn so much from being on both sides, both going to the parks as a guest and getting to see the different sides being a cast member. So anytime you have any questions, feel free to ask.
All right. Thanks, Nicole. We'll see you in the parks.
The Disney Parks Podcast is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company. All Disney parks, attractions, lands, shows, event names, etc. are registered trademarks of the Walt Disney Company.
Like a boat out of the blue, fate steps in and sees you through. One reach upon a star, your dreams come true.
Hidden Gem Productions. If you're in need of audio services or voice talent, contact Hidden Gem Productions. Our professional team will provide fast, custom audio services and talent at a reasonable price. Our goal is to completely satisfy your audio needs and exceed your expectations. No project is too small. For more information, audio samples, and a list of services provided, head to www.hiddengemproductions.com today.